Give me your first blush on the Russell Martin signing.
Loved it. I think that he's the one position on the field that affects half of your roster. Half your roster nowadays are pitchers. This guy has got, from what I'm hearing, he's a gamer, and this guy's going to get the best out of our pitchers, and I think it's an unheralded position that it goes unnoticed. I'll tell you, boy, for a pitcher, this is pivotal. This is critical for having a good catcher. I'm telling you right now, Bob, I remember going to the ballpark, and I can't remember I can remember, but I don't need to reveal the guy's names. We had a tandem catching duo. I remember going to the ballpark, waiting for the lineup to come out, and just going, oh, damn. You know, I wish I had the other guy.
Wrong guy, yeah.
You know, and it has an effect on the pitcher. These guys, they learn your personality. They know how to push buttons. They know how to pump you up. They know how to pat you on the back. And it's all stuff that goes on during the in-game situations, whether it's in between innings or sitting in the dugout.
Well, and it's a trust.
I love the Russell Martin thing. I think it's great because they say this guy's a gamer, so I can't wait to meet him.
Well, there's a trust scenario here that goes on between the pitcher and the catcher. I mean, he's putting the signs down, and you can wave him off. But really, you know, in the best-case scenario, I would think, as a pitcher, you want your catcher to call the game, and you want to have complete confidence that whatever number of fingers he throws down at you, that's what you're going to throw, don't you?
Oh, yeah. The best feeling in the world is when you're sitting on the rubber in front of all those fans. It's a crucial part of the game, and you're thinking to yourself, we're going slider away right here. And he puts down slider away. It just confirms what you were thinking.
Right.
It makes you feel more confident, no question about it. Now, you got to shake, though, Bob. I mean, sometimes you just see stuff when you're pitching.
I get it.
Oh, I had that guy beat. If I can just go another heater inside here, you know, I'm going to beat him. So sometimes you got to shake to get to your pitch, but that's all part of self-coaching.
Right.
And that's what good big leaguers do.
Pat, Penny. We keep hearing about pitch framing with Russell Martin, and he's very good at framing a pitch. Over the course of a season, how can that add up in terms of wins or strikes for a pitcher?
You know, I used to say that it always come down to a couple pitches during the course of the game. You could make 110, 120 good pitches as a starting pitcher and have like four or five bad pitches that cost your team three or four runs. This goes the same with the pitch framing. Sometimes it all depends on when he actually steals you the strike. If it's a critical part of the game, heck, man, it could win the game for you, mm-hmm. one pitch, because it swings the game that quickly. So when it's 9-0 and, you know, the long reliever's in the game and he steals a strike, that kind of goes overrated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bob made a great point. We were talking about it earlier in the show. How do you measure psychologically what a catcher can do for a pitcher? I don't think you can. We were saying we don't think you can measure that psychologically. But, like, say you got a speedster and he's over on first base, but you got a Russell Martin behind the plate who's very good at throwing a runner out. What does that do for you as a pitcher?
Oh, it sometimes allows you to be a little more free with your leg kick. You know, but, again, most of the pitchers should, when they get to the big leagues, know how to hold runners. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you have a lot of relievers in that league that don't do a very good job.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the stolen bases, believe it or not, are probably off relievers more than they are starters. Because as a starter, you got to learn how to manage the game, manage through the lineup, hold runners. You know, you got to be able to defend the hit and run. You have to be able to defend the double steal. As a pitcher, you can do these things on the mound. You know, by throwing balls up and in, giving your catcher a good ball to throw on, that type of stuff. Keeping the ball out of the dirt so he can catch the ball cleanly and make a good throw. You know, the bottom line is they're stealing off the pitcher. You know, as good as, you could have Johnny Bench back there. If you have a high leg kick, most of the guys can steal second.
With Pat Henkin, a special advisor to the Toronto Blue Jays, you went through, and I don't have the whole list, it's a long list, a boatload of catchers during your time. It was almost like a revolving door, and you alluded previously to the year that where you had two guys that caught on a regular basis. It was basically a platoon situation, and you had one guy that you obviously would prefer to have thrown to. Who was the best? Was there one guy that stands out that you felt the most comfortable with?
You know what? I'm going to give Borders a little prop because I remember as a young player coming up, he gave me a compliment in the outfield that really, really helped me. He said that my fastball command was as good as anybody we had on the team. And at that time, I was kind of pitching in hope mode. I was hoping to throw strikes to show Cito and show Pat Gillick and Paul Beeston that I could belong there. And I just thought that was a nice confidence boost. But once I was an established player, there was one guy that stood out. He was, you talk about stealing strikes. This guy was the best at it. Was Charlie O'Brien.
Right.
Charlie O'Brien, to me, knew what buttons to push. You know, I could tell you, he came out one time in the game in Toronto and he said to me, are you going to continue to heave? And I said, what? He goes, all you're doing is heaving the ball down the middle. He said, if you're going to do that, let's go to the relievers because they got better stuff.
Wow. He just dumped so right on you.
But he knew. And I'm telling you, Bob, and I'm telling you, it made me lock in. I was just smoking that glove. I was hitting the glove. And, you know, he was just good at pushing the button. He got me to throw my fastball down and away more than I had ever done prior. So he opened up a third of the plate that I really wasn't utilizing. There's no coincidence I had my best season ever with him.
I was going to say, Pat.
Yeah, there were those times when I'd walk in and I'd be like, gosh, dang, you know, he's not catching. It's it does have an effect.
He was with you the year you won your Cy Young?
Oh, yeah.
How much of that was on him?
A lot.
Yeah.
He was good. And I told him that. And when I look back on it, I probably should have done that in September, October, when they made the announcement. Actually, November, when they made the announcement, I should have given Charlie his props. I did personally, but I just didn't give it to him in the public.
How much of being a good catcher, you're just kind of talking about how he'd treat you out there, is being a good psychologist or a good therapist and knowing how to handle each pitcher individually?
Oh, there's no doubt. I'll give you an example. Timlin was on our team at the same time, and Timlin and I were opposites. He had a power sinker, but he struggled sometimes with his confidence, especially if he blew a game late. And Charlie knew how to, like, pamper him and bring him along. And with me, it was the opposite. I needed the fire. I wanted the smack on the back and the smack on the butt. So he knew how to work his way around that staff. It was impressive, I got to tell you. Now, that being said, I had some really good ones. Fletcher, Borders, Myers, Santiago, Matheny. I had a lot of good catchers, but Charlie was the one that stuck out.
This may or may not relate, but one of the things that came out very quickly after the signing was announced, Pat, was Russell Martin's ability to be a leader in the room. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know whether it's legitimate. It could be guys making stuff up, and you know that happens. Historically, is it good, obvious, likely that a catcher be one of those guys, a vocal guy in the room, a go-to guy, and what's the importance of that, if at all?
Well, he doesn't necessarily have to be a real vocal guy. For example, Winfield was vocal. Molitor led by example. They both were good leaders.
Right.
You know, and that was back-to-back seasons for me when I played as a young guy. So for Russell to come in on a new team with, you know, Batista and Encarnacion, and we got some big-time guys, man, and Reyes, Burley, and Dickey. I mean, it's not going to be the easiest thing where you're just going to step in and say, this is my team. But I think over time, the players will gravitate to him like they have in every city that he's played in. So I think that not only is it a great sign because he brings huge stability behind the plate and a high-end defender, which I think is critical, but he also brings a power bat from the right side. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that whole thing evolves. But my guess is he's going to take on the reins and take on that team, and I'm really excited about it.
How many games would you expect him to catch? 31 years old. You got him on a 5-year contract. I know, you know, the future is now. Would you expect to see him given an ample amount of rest? Let's say, do you think he'll be closer to 120 games rather than 140?
Well, depending on how the roster becomes constructed, whether
sure.
we have three catchers or two, obviously that's going to have an impact. But you'd like to see him catch 110, 120 games if you could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I would think, and then maybe rest or maybe some DH, maybe a little pinch hit, maybe come in late in the game for defense. He'll probably get some games played late, you know, come in the eighth inning with a one-run lead against a team that can run like Kansas City, something like that. So I could see stuff like that happening as well. That's a tough call. I'd have to go back and look up his bubblegum card and tell you how many games he's played. But I'm saying 100, 110 would be realistic.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I thought too. But there are people who are suggesting it might be even more than that.
Well, and, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, if he can do it.
Yeah.
It is tough in any age, and certainly this one, for guys to catch at age 31 who've, you know, you take a pounding back there
mm-hmm.
to be able to catch 140 games, to catch, 6 days a week.
I'm just thinking at the plate, though, Pat, coming to a place like the Rogers Center, Russell's got to be licking his chops, I would think, coming to a hitter's ballpark like that, no?
Oh, yeah, I remember I played with guys that, you know, how come you play every day? How come you never take a day off? Because I need that game to put up my numbers. You're right. I understand. That's sometimes that, you know, they don't want to sit the bench because the guy on the bench is a darn good player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Wally Pipp story. The
yeah.
They just do not want to relinquish that starting role, and they'll play through pain. I played with Matheny, man. That guy was a tough guy. Borders. Russell's tough. These guys all play through injuries. These
yep.
guys are tough, man. You play major league catcher, you're a tough bird. And from what I'm hearing, Russell's a tough guy, a leader, and brings a lot of experience, a ton of playoff experience. He's a winner, you know, and that's important to me. And I'm excited. I really am.
Let me ask you one more question about that, because I know you can't get into too much about what else might happen. It's pure theory. Anybody can guess. But if you're playing today, and the Blue Jays show interest in Pat Hinken, and the Blue Jays just signed Russell Martin behind the plate, how much of a factor is that in your decision? Honestly.
It is a factor. There's no doubt. But, you know, you see these guys' press conferences going back to when I played with Mike Hampton in Colorado. And I remember he signed that big deal and came out and said he liked the schools. I remember I started laughing. You know, so the money talks. You guys know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Money talks. And if players, it's very tough to get the 6 years to become a free agent. Most players only play 4 years and less. So to get 6 years and be able to go wherever you want, it's a very, you know, super high privilege. And therefore, players are going to shop their skills. And a lot of them are going to go to the highest paid owner or the, you know, highest contract.
Yeah.
But it does have an effect. It will have an effect on some of our pitchers. There's no doubt. Some of the free agent guys, maybe you can lure them in. I think Batista and Carcion, Reyes, those guys help recruit some of the free agent players too.
Right.
Because guys want to be surrounded by a good team. And, you know, the roster's a pretty good team right now.
Few tweaks still, a few question marks, but it's getting there.